Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, including Jake Leone, Corporate Interiors, Andrew Plumley, Wisfis Bank, Rory O'Hara, Osparity, Julia Langan, Consumer 51, and Jennifer Schaefer, JS Benefits Group. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Chris Drew, President and CEO of Burnham Holdings, Mark Albero, General Manager of Pack Strapping, Christian Hoyt, President and CEO of PayUSA, and Rory O'Hara, Founder of Osparity. Let's get to know our first guest, Chris Drew, President and CEO of Burnham Holdings. Chris, what is Burnham Holdings? What are you guys doing?
Burnham Holdings is a $260 million publicly traded company. We have about 700 employees across 8 locations in the eastern part of the United States. By unit volume, we're the largest manufacturer of boilers in the United States.
All righty. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up in Northwest Massachusetts, Williamstown, Mass. I'm the oldest of two.
All righty. And 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you doing as a kid, 8 to 14?
8 to 14. So primarily, other than going to school, I spent my summers on our farm, which is about 500 acres in north central Vermont, about half an hour north of White River Junction.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that 9 or 10 years old, you were picking strawberries and selling the strawberries with your cousins. What was your role with your cousins picking those strawberries? And what's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, I think, generally with strawberries or any kind of a fruit, it's ready when it's ready and you got to get it done. So with my cousins, I was always trying to get them to get up early, go pick the strawberries because they were ripe and they were ready to go. Mm-hmm. We would pick them and go sell them down to the general store and make a few dollars.
And what's that have to do with who you are nowadays?
Well, today it's about motivating the employees. When the time is right, get it done. Sense of urgency in everything we do and make it happen.
Gotcha. Rory, you want to give me a hand getting to know Chris, please?
Yeah, Chris, in the green room, you mentioned you helped your grandmother take care of horses. I'm curious, what does taking care of horses have to do with helping you lead your company today?
Yeah, so my grandmother raised purebred Morgans, and so we grew up around horses all the time. We rode every day, pretty much. You had to take care of your horse, you had to feed it, muck the stalls. It taught you how to basically be responsible and take care of the things that take care of you. And so in the work environment, that's taking care of your employees. Let's make sure that take care of your employees, and when you have 700, they'll help you out. You can't run the company without them.
Gotcha, Julia.
So you mentioned in the green room when you were on the farm, you missed your buddies at home and that soccer was your favorite sport because it was a team sport. How do you bring that collaboration to work every day?
Well, I think that, with my team and broadly across the company, we try to foster a culture of collaboration. And I think that team sports do that. It doesn't matter what sports you're in. You're trying to get your teammates to play hard, do well. And again, I also think that brings a sense of competition. So I'm a pretty competitive guy. Like to win, like to win at sports, like to win in the work environment as well. Mm-hmm. Take on my competition.
Jennifer.
Hi, Chris. So you did say that you did competitive trail riding. When did you realize you didn't have control of the horse, and how did you work with the horse to make things happen?
So we all grew up riding, my cousins and I. And so generally, yes, I definitely did not have control of the horse, judging by the number of trips to the emergency room I took as a child. But no, I think that's one of those things, you fall off and the old adage is you get right back on. And that's what we did. I mean, you fell off, you dust yourself off. If you didn't go to the emergency room, you get back on the horse and keep on trucking. It was sort of frowned upon to not.
Mm-hmm. Andrew.
Hey, Chris. So working on a farm is, hard work, very structured. You're kind of up with the sun, down with the sun. What did that structured hard work teach you, and how do you bring that to work every day?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that, Andrew. I mean, it's important to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And so I think if you look at the way Burnham has operated during my time as CEO, we've accomplished a ton of stuff. There's a sense of urgency. Just make it happen. And do the right things, and the right things are generally what you need to do.
Jake?
Hey, Chris, you said that, you went from a larger town and surrounded by friends during the school year to a very tiny 900-person town in central Vermont, just surrounded by family. Tell us a little bit about how that's affected you and how you lead your business.
I think that really has driven my sense of relationships, you know, value the relationships you have. You know, I was upset as a kid because I couldn't play and hang out with my friends during the summer, right? They were swimming, they were going to the pool, they were playing Little League. I was going to Vermont, hanging out with my cousins. So, A, on one hand, I got a great sense of family. I'm very tight with my cousins. B, I miss my friends, and so you valued them more when you came back to the school year started again. So again, I think it's just all about relationships and moving between those two worlds, between your business career.
How's that affected your business career?
Yeah, so you know, in what we do here at Burnham, you know, it's a small industry, but the relationships are key, just like with so many industries. And so having those relationships and being able to cultivate them and grow and develop them, even when you don't see anybody for long periods of time, just because of the circumstances, is really important.
Rory.
Yeah, Chris, I get the sense that family is really important to you. So I'm curious, what do you bring from your mom to work every day, and what do you bring from your father?
Yeah, my mom was the one that always said, treat people the way you want to be treated. So I think as you're working with employees or customers, that just sort of drives your culture and your behavior and the way you present yourself. My dad was an entrepreneur, an optimist, very creative, always looking for the next big thing. So for me, that's really, you know, sort of it become, you know, what can Burnham do to get bigger? What are the things that we can or can't do? And, you know, frankly, I think this company can do anything it puts its mind to. And I think I got that from my dad.
Jennifer.
Chris, what's fun about your job?
What's fun about my job? So Burnham boilers are engineered products. They're highly regulated. But what's really fun is that, you know, I'll be at a trade show and I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, that's a cool product. We ought to make something like that. And I'll be able to sit down with the engineering team and give them a vision of some sort of a, you know, of a combustion product or a heating product that I think would be really interesting and really successful in the marketplace. And they can bake that and take that and turn that into a tangible product. We can put that into production. We can market it. We can package it. And we can sell it to homeowners that can use it to heat and keep their houses comfortable every day. And that's just really fulfilling for me.
How
Love inventing stuff.
young were you when you were looking at the whole process? How young were you when you were looking at the whole process?
I never really wanted to be in the boiler business. I was an English major, not an engineer, which is kind of odd. I got into it sort of as I discovered that it's a really interesting segment of the HVAC marketplace. As a friend of mine in the industry said, it's a knife fight in a phone booth every day. But probably in my about 31, 32, sort of, I'd done some other things in my career
But how
that
about
sort of
as a
kept getting
child? How about as
dragged
a
back.
child? It just seems to me that you like looking at the whole process. When you were working on that farm in Vermont, were you looking at the whole process of how you get something, how you grow something, and how you get something to market? You were looking at the whole pig, at the big picture, weren't you?
Always. I mean, because it was always a cycle, right? You had to plant, you had to cultivate, you had to harvest. Exactly. So for sure, it was always about that and getting to the right place and the satisfaction of seeing it come to fruition.
Ah, so you really enjoy the process of creating and the process of creating the result. It's pretty much in your
But
blood, isn't it?
you got to harvest at some point, Herb.
What do you do in your spare time? What do you enjoy doing in your spare time?
My big sport these days is skiing. I at least try to get at least 1 week, if not 2 weeks, out west skiing. I grew up on skis from the age of six up in Vermont. I play some tennis, but I also have a son and that plays high level soccer. So I chase him all over the mid-Atlantic.
And do you think you're ever going to retire, Chris?
No.
Why not?
I really enjoy what I do. Maybe you can get that through this call. But no, I will eventually retire and travel. My wife is pushing me that, you know, at some point there's got to be an end of the road, and she wants me to stop working so much and go out and enjoy life a little bit with, you know, harvest everything I've done.
Do you think you're just going to stop, or do you think you're going to keep some interest in business?
I will probably keep some interest in business. Obviously, I would love to be on some, you know, do three, four boards if possible, and that would be a great way to, you know, continue to give back to the business community and keep myself engaged, keep my mind
But
active.
why not just go sit in front of the TV or go to Florida or something? Why would you want to stay involved with work?
I like the intellectual challenge of and solving the problems that come along with you know, the work environment. So what I do as CEO every day, manage the team, help them, counsel them, provide consultations. You know, somebody said, "What do you do?" I said, "I don't do anything anymore. I just sort of work with my team to help them make it happen."
Just like you were working with your cousins, picking those strawberries and making sure that they got to market on time. It's
That's
like
it.
you like looking at the whole big picture. What's the website address for this organization known as Burnham Holdings?
Burnhamholdings.com is the parent company, but for boiler specific products, usboiler.com is where you should go.
USBoiler.com. We've been speaking with Chris Drew, who's president and CEO of Burnham Holdings here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, that's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host at executiveleadersradio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean, really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be. And they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
Vietnam-era veteran Bob Martin founded Veterans Care Charity to assist homeless veterans and struggling families nationwide. What began as a small outreach effort now distributes hygiene kits, blankets, clothing, and disaster relief supplies across the country. Martin's organization partners with community groups to address housing insecurity and health needs, emphasizing dignity and stability. His philosophy remains rooted in military values. No one gets left behind, especially at home. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Scholarships limited by race, segregated graduation ceremonies in dorms, professors labeling students as oppressors based on skin color, gender, or religion. This is DEI in action. Divisive, toxic, and un-American. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of a nation where his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. DEI turns that dream upside down. But there's hope. DEI is being rolled back through civil rights enforcement, federal funding cuts, and growing cultural resistance to its harm in schools, workplaces, and communities. America is strongest when united, not divided. Our universities should lead the way in bringing people together, not driving them apart. Visit campusreform.org to learn more about the fight against DEI on college campuses. Restoring Truth, Correcting Bias in Education, One Story at a Time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Mr. Mark Albaro, who's General Manager, Vice President of Pack Strapping. What is Pack Strapping? What are you guys doing, Mark?
We're about a $40 million master distributor of strapping products, largely used for moving goods in transit, based out of Exton, Pennsylvania.
Gotcha. Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up the youngest of two. I have one older brother, and Wilmington, Delaware is the home.
Gotcha. And 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you up to 8 to 14 years old?
So largely those are the high school years. So I was involved in various sports, football, track team. I was manager for the basketball, the wrestling teams. And then in the summers, I worked at a camp for kids who have cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and spina bifida.
You mentioned that you were really into academics and that you really enjoyed math and science and that you enjoyed puzzles. What's puzzles have to do with building this business called Pack Strapping?
So when you're working with puzzles, you're always looking for a solution. You're trying to solve for something, or in the algebraic term, you're solving for X. So in a lot of days, you know, we're dealing with issues that may not have a simple solution, and we're trying to figure out what the right way to solve that problem may be here in the business.
Gotcha. Jennifer, please give me a hand getting to know Mr. Albaro.
Hi. You said that you played football, but you weren't the starter. How has that affected you in life and with your business and coping with other people that you deal with?
Yeah, so for the 4 years I was on the football team, I was always like the next guy up. So whether it was the offensive line or defensive line, I was going to be the next guy in if there was an injury or if we needed to, you know, have an extra player on the field. But I was never that starter. And it taught me really the value of teamwork and the value of trying to make my teammates who were the starters better so that the team could succeed. And that's a big part of what I try to do every day here at Pack Strapping.
Julia.
Mark, you mentioned in the green room that you started as a volunteer at that summer camp and then you kept going back. Giving back is obviously important to you. How do you tie that into your business today?
Yeah, so I've done lots of work with various boards and support, but probably the biggest thing that I'm involved with today, and similar to the situation with the kids at the camp, I have a 20-year-old who is autistic, and we've been a participant family for the Eagles Autism Challenge here in Philadelphia, which is a great event run by the Philadelphia Eagles, especially by Mr. Jeffrey Laurie, who's the owner of the Eagles, to help support the autism community and raise a lot of funds and awareness for autism here in the local community.
Mm-hmm. Andrew.
Hey, Mark. So you were the next man up on the football team for 4 years, but you didn't quit. You know, most kids would have quit. And then senior year, you become a team captain, team leader. What has that taught you about, you know, resilience and ultimately, you know, seeing things through?
Yeah, well, if you commit yourself to something, you know, you're going to succeed no matter what level you're able to participate. And as I mentioned, it's a bit about teamwork and it's a bit about looking for the success of the group over the success of the individual. That's a lot of what I see in teamwork today, whether it's business or in sports.
Mm-hmm. Rory.
Yeah, Mark, I'm curious, how young were you when you first started working? And then what did you do with the money that you earned?
So the volunteer job I started with, I was 13 years old. It was an unpaid position. And then shortly thereafter, the next year, I was a paid position. Didn't make a lot of money, but was trying to fuel. Actually, back then, my biggest interests were comic books. I liked to read. And so I would spend that extra cash that I made on those weeks and go to the local comic book shop in Delaware.
Interesting. So what does reading comic books have to do, or how does that translate to business?
Well, one thing I like to say is it definitely helped me with my vocabulary. You know, have a very diverse and wide-ranging vocabulary, and I'll spit out some of those words every once in a while with the folks I work with. But more importantly, I think it just helps you with understanding a little bit about creativity and imagination. Because the comic book world is it's a fantasy place. It's an area where, you know, the impossible can happen. And it helps you to think about, you know, what could be and what you're trying to take your business to at the next level, because you're not going to get there if you don't have a path or a dream moving it forward.
Mm-hmm. Jake?
There's certainly a lot of changes in the economy, supply chain and things like that. What did puzzles, comic books, those types of things help prepare you for challenges in today's work environment?
Well, definitely we'll say that pricing is always a big issue in our industry because we're a commodity-driven technology. Right now, we're dealing with a lot of shocks on the supply side, which are changing pricing in our marketplace. But you have to be resilient. You have to be creative. In many cases, I'm dealing with customers who look at the price changes that we're pushing through in our industry, and they're looking for alternatives where we can actually look at changing the product technology that they're using and still offer them the security that they need for their strapping materials. So I think that's a big part of the thing we have to push forward with our industry.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer.
I understand you've been married for 27 years, which is a success on its own. What has that brought to your business life and how to keep that commitment going?
Well, I'd like to say I'm probably more successful, thankfully, due to my wife and the things that she's brought to me in my life, because it's enabled me to be successful in the things that I do in business. But more importantly, I think it's, you know, marriage teaches you a lot about communication, a lot about cooperation, a lot about how to give more of yourself because I'm invested in the relationship. And that's one of the things I've always brought into what I do in business. I've been at two different companies over a little over 30 years. The first company was 23, and I'm now into my year six here at Pack Strapping. And it's because I'm invested in the organization and I'm committed to what the people are trying to accomplish as a team.
Wow, boy, you are a long-term player, a committed soul. Andrew.
Mark, what was the major pivot in your life, and regardless of age, and how does that impact you today?
So I'd say when I was younger, especially right after I got married, I was still a very large sports obsessive individual, bit of a fanatic when it comes to the local teams here in Philadelphia, as well as my alma mater, Penn State, for football. But that all changed for me, I think, when my daughter was born. And I realized that, you know, I'm at stake now for somebody else's life and somebody else's success in this world. And that really changed when she was born. And that was 23 years ago. And I've tried to, you know, take that mindset now and look at it when I talk about it with my business, with the people that work for me and the players that I've got, you know, how we need to take care of each other as a family and succeed together.
How do you go about defining success, Mark? What success look like to you?
I think a big part of success is stating where you want to go and then achieving that ultimate goal. I am a big believer in, proper planning prevents piss poor performance, and you've got to plan properly. If you don't plan properly, you're never going to get somewhere.
So your nature is to set goals for yourself and to help the team and yourself get there. And it's just like the sports. It's like the same thing you were doing with the sports, where you didn't have to be the star player, but you really wanted to support the team to get to the win, to get to the goal. Am I seeing that correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're in business, there's always a number, right? We talk about how much sales or your profitability or your EBITDA. But at the end of the day, you're not going to get there if you don't plan for it. And if you don't make the right and put the right things in place and put the right people in place to achieve those goals.
So you really have a deep humanness about you, as well as a competitive spirit, a goal-oriented spirit. I guess it showed up when you were young and working with the special needs kids. Your humanness there, let alone your ability to read people, figure out where they fit on a team, coupled with your goal orientation. And it sounds to me like the organizations you've been with, you've only been with two for all these years, your nature really is to build long-term relationships to really get the team moving in the same direction. Am I seeing that clearly, or what do you?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in sticking a bit to your roots, which is, you know, why I would say, despite all those years of hardship with watching the Philadelphia Eagles not win championships, it was an amazing payoff when they finally won one in 2017. But you stick with the team, you stick with, you know, and you try to work within that, you know, framework when it comes to the teams you're on.
So on one hand, you're very loyal. On the other hand, you're good at helping move the individuals and push the individual team members. So you've got both sides to you. You've got the loving sweetness, bondedness, but yet you've got the competitive spirit going on at the same time. Yes, no?
Absolutely. You know, I like to win just as much as the next individual. However, I probably will take a little bit of a different tack. I'm molded by the leaders that I've worked under over all these years. And I've had some leaders that are very compassionate and cajoling, and other leaders that are very taskmaster and, you know, the goal and get it done.
Give me the website address for Pack Strapping.
Strapsolutions.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Albero, General Manager and Vice President, Pack Strapping, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for expert insights on the cars that really matter? Then check out Carl Brower Cars on YouTube. Carl Brower has spent decades testing and analyzing vehicles from every brand at every price point. You'll find detailed reviews, the latest car news, and deep dives into what's hot and what's not in the automotive world. Whether you're shopping for your next car or just love staying on top of what's happening in the industry, Carl Brower Cars gives you straight talk, real analysis, and no fluff. Don't just read about cars, see them in action. Subscribe now to Carl Brower Cars on YouTube and join a growing community of drivers and enthusiasts who want the truth about today's vehicles. That's KARLBRAUER Cars on YouTube.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, realworldleaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
I think from talking to Todd Sager, I got perspective on starting a business and what it's like to be an entrepreneur. I think it's a great perspective to see how times have changed, but ways haven't.
We heard that Todd actually majored in philosophy, and now he's the CEO of this massive company. How did that make you feel learning that philosophy can help you become an entrepreneur?
It further proved my point that life is about what you make it and that philosophy will always back up what you think life is.
Todd, help me out here.
Like I mentioned, philosophy is problem solving. So having that frame of mind, you know, looking at what you want to do with your life, do it from a problem solving mindset.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
Shopping for a car can be overwhelming. Prices, reliability, safety. It's hard to know where to start. That's where iccars.com comes in. iccars is the smart, easy way to buy your next car. With millions of listings analyzed every day, they give you unbiased ratings on price, quality, and long-term value. Whether you're looking for a new ride, a dependable used car, or just want to know if that deal is really worth it, iCCars takes the guesswork out of car shopping. You'll find powerful tools like price history, dealer scorecards, and even a free VIN check, so you can shop with confidence. Don't just buy a car, buy it smarter. Visit iccars.com today or download the app and find the right car at the right price. That's iccars.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Christian Hoyt, President and CEO of PayUSA. Christian, what is PayUSA? What are you guys up to?
So PayUSA, we're a payroll and HR company, but that moniker has changed a little bit. They call us Human Capital Management nowadays, based out of Kiev, Prussia.
Gotcha. You got about 1,300 customers, you mentioned, and about 16 employees. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up in suburban Philadelphia, and I'm the fifth of six children.
Gotcha. 8 to 14. What were you doing 8 to 14 years old?
So two doors down from me, our cousins lived. So we had four cousins right there. So there were 10 kids. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my early life was just based around doing things with them, vacationing with them, and so forth. Mm-hmm.
So you have pretty close relationships. And tell me a little bit about, you mentioned that you were involved with wrestling. What did you enjoy about wrestling? And what's that have to do with who you are nowadays?
So wrestling, first of all, it's a difficult sport, but it fit me. The nice part about wrestling is that there's no coaching deciding who gets to wrestle. It's all based on whether you win or you lose. Mm-hmm. And so that brings a good competitive spirit, but it also teaches you how to learn to lose. And that helps you with work as well, because that happens. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you were about 13 years old. You were working in a restaurant, and there was another young man that was working, and you guys like formed a team together. And what sort of hit me was like, you really enjoy long-term relationships and deep relationships. What's that relationship at 13 working in the restaurant with that other kid have to do with how you're building your business?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, he's still a friend of mine today. Second of all, the irony of it was that his mom and my mom were friends before that. And I didn't even know him. So I think that that's all part of my personality, having friends and retaining friends.
Gotcha. It's all about relationships. That's how you built a business, it sounds like, and maintained 1,300 customers. Rory, you want to give me a hand getting to know Christian, please?
Yeah, let's stay with that first job. What was your role? What were you doing for that first job where you were earning money?
So we were kind of just doing whatever, you know, in food prep, but, you know, washing dishes and whatnot. But my niche was making orange juice.
So how does developing a niche making orange juice help you in running a payroll company?
So in that particular case, no one wanted to do that. And for me, it was just something I like to do. So it's kind of what happens a lot in business. There's a lot of jobs that turn to the to the CEO at some point because no one else wants to do them, or to make sure it happens. So that's all part of growing up in a business.
Jake?
You told us in the green room, Christian, that you know, your dad was an influence on you in the business and certainly had run the business in a more traditional manner. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so my father purchased the, you know, the franchise back in the day, you know, just about being the owner. That was kind of the, what his role was. But as I got into the business after I graduated from college, I really wanted to learn it from the ground up, and that's really helped us prevent any kind of vulnerability. It's nice to be able to know where there are bottlenecks and so forth in a business.
Mm-hmm. Andrew.
Christian, your dad's, you know, bought the business and started it up. He obviously cultivated those relationships in the beginning. You know, what did you learn from watching him, and how do you use that now to build relationships out in the market?
One of the things that's great about this area that we live in is just that a lot of people are really connected, and there's things to connect. I mean, sports, high schools, churches, synagogues, and so forth. So we were really just kind of sort of take care of that. We still have a client that has been with us since the first year in business in 1969.
Wow. Jennifer.
Kristen, I know that you wrestled, but I'm always interested in people's hardships. I know it wasn't often, but when you were pinned, how did you deal with that humiliation and propel that into your business?
So I have a lot of stories about getting pinned because I really forgot those, but I did have a big match senior that, you know, was kind of critical for the team, and I hurt myself, but I couldn't stop wrestling. So it just ended up me getting really beaten up by this guy in front of my home fans. It definitely teaches a lot of humility, but it also allows you to bounce back. You know, I didn't stop wrestling. I kept going, and I wrestled in college. So, you know, I think that's all part of it. You get hit down, you get back up, keep going.
Gotcha. Julia.
So, Christian, you mentioned that you took over the business from your dad. He must have been a coach to you along the way. What did he teach you that you still use today?
So the big thing that my dad was always teaching me was to, you know, return phone calls and be nice. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, but I find that that really is a big separator nowadays. I mean, a lot of people aren't interested in making that phone call, picking up the phone, making a meeting. Sometimes things just get relegated to emails or texts and or the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. Rory?
Yeah, Christian, running a payroll company gives you a front row seat to how families and businesses create income. Growing up in a large family, what did you learn from the conversations at the dinner table that helped you run your company?
Well, I learned to be a little loud is what I learned, I tell you, because we were sitting there, eight of us around a table, and if you were to see the room we ate in, you'd be like, how'd you guys all fit? But I think that it's about making your voice be heard, and you had to do that in a big family.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Albaro.
Hey, Christian, what would you say was the major turning or pivot point in your life?
When I was about 28, I fell in love, got married, and it really kind of changed my perspective on what work was. Before, it was just a way to make money to go out. But once you get married, you kind of get a little more serious, and then people start taking you more seriously. That's really a big part in transforming your business when people don't see it as just, you know, son of the founder, or more of just the person that's the owner.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like you, when you got married, you really began to take life seriously, that the work became, there was a purpose to it where it was really providing for you and the family. You took marriage with a great deal of responsibility. Am I seeing that correctly?
Absolutely. It's just, you know, you have another person that you're working with now. I mean, that's your partner, and that defines what you're going to be doing. And trust me, going and spending money going to a bar is not as much fun as buying a house and all these other things, building a family.
You know, you're all about relationships. That young man that you were hanging out with at 13 working in the restaurant, and the fact that you were like hanging out with your cousins around the, you know, you did learn how to get your voice heard around the dining room table. And it also, when we were talking in the green room, it impressed me that you're really a big sports fan and a very loyal sports fan. What's being a loyal sports fan have to do with your building this organization known as PayUSA with 1,300 customers?
I mean, it's part of me. My older brother was a big fan, so that's how it got born into me. But I would tell you that it's another part that just bonds you to this area. You know what I mean? It's so much easier when you can have a conversation with someone locally about something that happened here locally, as opposed to a lot of my competitors are based out of other places. So I'm not going to have any connection to, like, the Flyers lost in overtime last night, and that was painful. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you're all about relationships. It just so happens that you're in the payroll or the HR related business, but it's really relationships that mean a great deal to you. Am I seeing that right?
You are. And I mean, I would tell you that, but you know, being competitive, winning, losing, but retaining and maintaining relationships is what builds your business and makes it strong.
So you have 16 teammates, 16 employees. Do you have a lot? Do you have a long-term retention with your team, or do people come and go on your team?
We've been very fortunate. We have a lot of employees. Many of my employees have been with me for over 20 years. So it really helps when you have that core employees that are just backbone of your company. When you can trust them.
You have employees that have been with you for 20 years.
Yeah,
that's just a testament to your ability to develop and maintain relationships, isn't it?
I suppose it is. I don't think of it that way, but very much more people that they stuck with us.
And I guess that's one of the reasons your customers stick with you as well, because you're really concerned about the relationships. I guess that permeates, it's part of your culture of the organization, which is treat people correctly. I'm sure your employees appreciate it because they're sticking around, and that's one of the reasons your customers are sticking around, because they feel taken care of. Is that true?
I think so, for sure. I mean, we... We'd love to be able to provide.
What's the website address for PayUSA?
PayUSA.com.
We've been speaking with Christian Hoy, President and CEO of PayUSA, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you, because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses, where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a pass key, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to use online. We also announced a thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, it can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at visa.com. That's simply visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute. This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
On a recent episode of Tech It Out, I caught up with Visa's Rob Cameron, Global Head of Acceptance Solutions, to talk about digital natives like Gen Z and how they're shaping the future of payments.
When we talk about Gen Z, didn't have to learn technology. They were literally born into it. And as a result, it makes them more open and accepting to new technology innovations we see, they're more trusting. And as this generation, which by the way, is going to represent about 27% of the workforce next year, starts to enter the economy, these fintech companies that create solutions for them are quite rightly racing to create solutions to engage them.
And Visa Acceptance Solutions is at the forefront of trusted digital payments. Build the future of payments with modular solutions, which you can learn more about at visaacceptance.com. That's visaacceptance.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
$2.8 million to study fighting hamsters, $11 million on cat constipation, $2.4 million to see if monkeys gamble. This is how Washington spends your tax dollars, funding absurd studies through U.S. universities. Campus Reform is exposing this waste, calling out taxpayer-funded grants that embarrass our institutions. Research dollars should support real progress, medical breakthroughs, innovation, not kitten motion sickness. Thanks to these reports, hundreds of millions in grants have already been canceled. Campus Reform will keep shining a light, holding wasteful programs accountable. Visit campusreform.org to stay informed. Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one story at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Rory O'Hara, founder and CEO of Ausperity. What is Ausperity? What are you guys doing?
Ausperity Private Wealth is an independent wealth management firm. We're currently managing $1.2 billion in assets for our high net worth families.
Wow. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from right outside Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm the oldest of two. I have one younger brother.
And 8 to 14, what were you doing 8 to 14 years old? What kind of stuff were you up to?
I was outside a lot. So I was outside playing with the neighborhood kids, pickup games. I played a lot of sports growing up, and then also was caddying to kind of make a couple bucks.
Mm-hmm. And with the neighborhood kids, what was your role with the neighborhood kids, and what's that have to do with who you are nowadays?
Well, I was one of the older ones, so I was typically the kid that was determining whose house we were going to, what game we were going to be playing, and getting all of that organized. It was very competitive, but I usually dictated what the plan for the day was. I think that translates today because I'm the founder, I'm the visionary for the firm. So it's setting what's the goal for the year, what are we trying to accomplish, and what are we going to do to try to help our families become the most successful.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned that you were caddying at the age of 11. What did you learn about caddying at the age of 11 that has anything to do with building this $1.2 billion wealth management firm?
Some grit and hard work. So at 11, that golf bag probably weighed half as much as I did. So I was only able to carry one bag, but it was to work hard. And I also realized there's time to potentially give advice, and then there's times to know when to just sit back and shut up and do the hard work.
Jake, you want to give me a hand, please?
Let's stick with the caddying piece of it. So yeah, heavy bag, but it's caddying's not really just about carrying clubs around a course, right? It's helping those golfers manage those really tough decisions and certainly emotions on there. So how does caddying translate to your leadership style today?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It actually does have a great transition to what I'm doing now. It's helping the families that we work for navigate difficult decisions, selling a business or when to retire or saving their wealth to be able to put their children in a better position than they were. So those are critical, important decisions. And, learning how to deliver that, I think, is part of it. And I think that comes back to those caddying days.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Rory, I know that you played sports, and I always love to hear about how did you deal with losing, that hardship, and how does that define you today?
Yeah, I was losing is tough. I'm very competitive. So early on, it was difficult to lose. I think it created a desire to constantly try to improve. I think as I got older and matured, I realized that losing can be a positive if you learn from it and you apply it to the next time you're out on that field or the next time you're in that business setting. Learning from your mistakes, I think, is important because mistakes are going to happen. Some of that's out of your control. You're not going to win everything. But I think you can build a better self and build a better business if you can learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Julia?
So, Rory, one of your competitive sports was lacrosse, which you mentioned you started what would be considered late for a sports career. What did that teach you, and how does that play into work today?
Yeah, I think it taught me that, you know, things may not always come easy, but you need to really put the work in, and that may not be in practices. So for us, lacrosse hit our area when I was a freshman and I started playing my sophomore year. So in order to gain playing time and improve, you need to do more than just show up to practice. It was working at home and doing what you can. And I think, you know, within inside of a working career, you have the in office hours, but then there's those hours outside the office where if you want to propel the career, you put in that time on the weekends, you put in that time in the evenings.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Andrew.
Yeah, so being around golf, you know, golf's a pretty fickle sport. You know, you can have the best front nine and the worst back nine and vice versa, you know, a lot of ups and downs. You know, seeing that at such a young age, you know, what did you learn from that? And, you know, what do you take from that today?
I learned that the most successful golfers kept their cool. And for us, we're managing the life savings of clients and families. And in doing so, the markets have ups and they have downs. And I think if you keep your cool and if you have a plan and you can execute the plan, you can create some amazing outcomes. But getting caught up on the highs or getting distraught over the lows really are not going to create the greatest outcome. So I try to keep my cool, if you will, regardless of market environment, and just try to help provide and give the best advice to clients.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Rory, what do you bring from your mom or your dad today?
To work every day, yeah.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. work.
Yeah, good question. I'd say from my mom, kind of, she's a very caring individual, very selfless. So she's the type of person that she would rather give a gift than receive a gift. And I think for me, it's looking out for my employees and trying to build this business. And I try to put myself in their shoes and what can I give to them to help put them in the best position. For my father, he always told my brother and I to be your own boss. And that was a sentence that just continued to play and resonate with me. So I think he probably gave me the confidence to leave the big firm. I was at Merrill Lynch for 15 years and left and started this business about 5 years ago. So I think that sentence was playing in the back of my head, which was, you know, Dad always told me to go be my own boss and stop working for corporate America, but to build something that I believed in. So there's a lot. I mean, I think every day I can pull back on things I learned from both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Andrew.
Yeah. On that note, Rory, when you think about your life, you know, what was that major pivot for you, regardless of age?
Yeah. 4 months into my career, right out of Villanova, I got an opportunity to work at Morgan Stanley in Philadelphia. 4 months in, I got fired. And I was fired because I failed the Series 7 test. And what's really interesting is Morgan Stanley went from the book test to a cheaper online study guide. And everyone in the training program, myself included, failed the Series 7 and got fired. The pivot was my desire to not give up and not just go find another career. I actually went to a competitor. I passed the Series 7 using an old school book, technique that worked for years. And then I went back and got rehired at Morgan Stanley and then, you know, really began the career. But I think the pivot was, is this really what you want to do? Do you have it in you? And can you take this setback and, you know, really see what you're made of?
So you're a pretty tenacious individual to get fired, to go to a competing firm, to be able to pass the series, and they go back to that organization. You really want to prove yourself, don't you? You're pretty tenacious. Am I seeing that right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, some things come natural to me, some things don't. But what I found is that the equalizer is hard work.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to coming up with strategies with stocks and bonds and derivatives and so on and so forth, your nature is to go get your eye on the goal. And then even if there's a bit of a rough spot, you're going to see things through, even though you're willing to change your strategy like you did with your own career. Yes, no?
Exactly right. And I think also surround yourself with good people that will work right alongside you, or they might have a skill set that you don't that can help you in kind of managing some of those difficulties.
How young were you when you learned about putting a team together? How young were you?
I mean, I was putting together, you know, pick'em teams back when I was 10 years old in the neighborhood, you know, the old school pick, and then here's the pickup basketball game, or we'll invent a game for the day because we only have five kids, that sort of thing.
So how about retirement? You think you're going to retire someday?
I don't know. Or I mean, I'm still only 43. I got a long way to go before I think about retirement. I enjoy what I'm doing. I get a lot of fulfillment out of that. It's interesting and it's nice to kind of sit back and reflect on the success so far, but there's a lot of opportunity.
What kind of fulfillment do you get? What are you talking about?
Well, I think I realized that, you know, I'm proud of what we've built thus far, energized and optimistic for what the future holds for the business and for Ausperity and what we're building here. I also think it's something that I think my four kids can, you know, they see dad working and they see dad putting in the work and working hard, but they also see the success. And I think that that's the ultimate example and goal.
What's the website address for Ausperity?
AusperityPrivateWealth.com.
AusperityPrivateWealth.com. We've been speaking with Rory O'Hara, founder and CEO of Ausperity Private Wealth, as well as we've had some great guests on the show today, including Chris Drew, president and CEO of Burnham Holdings, Mark Albero, vice president and general manager of Pack Strapping, Christian Hoyt, president and CEO of PayUSA, and again, most recently, Rory O'Hara, founder and CEO of Ausperity Private Wealth. I'd like to thank my co-hosts today, including Jake Leone, Corporate Interiors, Andrew Plumley from Wisvis Bank, Rory O'Hara from Ausperity, Julia Langan, Consumer 51, Jennifer Schaefer, JS Benefits Group, and also Mark Albero for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience both an educational and entertaining radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands, and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-716-1261. 800-716-1261. 800-716-1261. That's 800-716-1261.